Welcome again to our study on wisdom literature, which comprises basically the Book of Proverbs and the Book of Ecclesiastes, written by King Solomon, reputedly the wisest man that ever lived. And we're looking at Proverbs chapter 3, which the Jews term the Book of Wisdom, and we're seeing that Solomon has recorded the teachings that his father, King David, gave to him when he was in his formative years. Don't forget, King Solomon came to the throne at the age of 19, and prior to that, he had been, nurtured by King David. King David spent a lot of time with Solomon, because Solomon was the anointed heir, selected by God himself. And so David devoted a lot of time to teaching Solomon. And so he starts off, my son, meaning Solomon. All right, my son. But look what he says. You know, forget not my law. Forget not my law. Now, this is a very solemn warning. Don't forget, King David was a prophet, priest, and king. He was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore his words were, in a sense, prophetic. And he's looking at King Solomon, and we find in other parts of Scripture that David said, well, I know, talking to Solomon, that you are a wise man. But his whole theme, really, is not only wisdom, teaching Solomon wisdom and understanding and the law, but it's almost a plaintive cry. Oh, Solomon, keep my law. Now, the thought of keeping is that you have something. For example, you know, I have this pen, you see. Well, I have it, but if I toss it away, I don't have it. In other words, I need to do something. I need to keep this pen. I need to keep it. So I put it in a safe place. I keep this pen. I keep it. But the thought of being exhorted to keep suggests that one can lose it. And that is exactly what happened, you see, to King Solomon. He had received wisdom. He had received the law from David, but he didn't keep it. And we've got to learn by the mistakes and errors of Solomon that we don't fall into the same snares. You know, it's important, you know, to understand that we might receive instruction, but in order to keep it, we have to repeat that instruction. You know, one of the great laws in learning, IRA, impression, repetition, and association. But I think the greatest is repetition. You know, we have to repeat what we have learned. And therefore, it's not sufficient just to read a section of the Bible once, but we have to reread it, meditate, muse on it constantly, so that we do not let it slide out as through leaking vessels. That's what Paul says, you see, in Hebrews. He said, you know, don't let what you've got leak out. Well, he says this, let your heart keep my commandments. He repeats himself, you see. And why does he repeat himself? Because he knows the danger that Solomon faces, that having received knowledge, he will lose it. Well, now he goes on to say this, you know, the benefits of wisdom. Length of days and long life. Now, depending how you look at these things, you know, God promised that man would live to 70 years, and if by reason of strength, Moses says, oh, he'll have 80 years. But you know, King David received 70 years, but Solomon died at the age of 59. He didn't attain unto the 70th year. Why? Because he lost that which he had received. He lost the wisdom. And, you know, King David said, look, let mercy and truth be a part of you. Don't forsake them. Don't forsake them. Write them on your heart. And then he goes on with these promises. So thou shalt find honor and glory and understanding in the sight of God and man. If you keep these things, they will promote you to glory and honor in the sight of God and man. Now then, he gives very important instruction, and this instruction we do well to heed. It's in the realm of guidance. And basically, you know, everybody needs guidance. Everybody thirsts for guidance to know what to do. And here is King David's admonition concerning it. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, this is important, because though man has received many blessings from God and given great abilities, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 says this, but it is not in man to direct his ways. Now, God has given man many abilities, but one thing he has withheld from man, and that is the ability to direct his ways. Why? Because God has a plan before the foundation of the world for each one of us. He has a plan, he has a purpose. He has a plan, he has a purpose. And that plan and that purpose is revealed to us as we seek God earnestly, as we seek him and ask him to direct us. And it is by faith that we walk before God, and as God said to Noah, walk before me and be thou perfect. And God guides us as we turn to him and look to him for help. But you know, if we try and direct our paths by our own understanding, we are going to make many tragic mistakes, and we shall not arrive at the haven of rest. See, God has a purpose for us. God, like arrows, he wants to put us in his bow and fire us to hit a certain mark. God knows that mark. God knows that purpose, that he has purpose for us. And you know, if we will seek him, and if we will ask him, Lord, show me, you know, step by step, because it is step by step. It's not a, shall I say, a revelation that's given, you know, of our life from A to B. No, it's step by step. And as we ask God to do so step by step, then when we see him, we're going to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, for thou hast fulfilled thy purpose. You know, Daniel was a man like that, and God said to Daniel, you will stand in your slot at the end time. And what I had purposed for you, Daniel, you have fulfilled, and eternally you'll stand in your lot. What's lot? Well, we want to be like Daniel. And we want to, by the grace of God, you know, just humbly walk with God. And then we will fulfill his purpose for our lives. Well now, he goes on, you know, be not wise in your own understanding. You know, don't trust your own wisdom. Flee evil. You know, many people think they can play with evil, but you can't. Evil is far too, shall I say, subtle. It has its snares. You think, you know, people think, oh, well, I can do a little sin, but I can pull myself back. Oh, no. Sin is too powerful for that. Don't be wise in your understanding. Flee from sin. Flee from sin. And then there is, shall I say, teaching on what we do with our substance. Now, the word of God is very clear that we should tithe. That's give one-tenth of our income, one-tenth of our substance to the Lord. It is so serious. In Malachi, for example, Malachi chapter 3, you know, God speaking to the children of Israel in that time says this, and you rob God. And they said, I'm reading, of course, from Malachi chapter 3. You rob God, you see. And they said, well, how do we rob you? And here in chapter 3, it says, will a man rob God? You know, chapter 3 and verse 8. And they said, well, how do we rob you? He said, by not giving me your tithes. You know, there was a group of young Colombian students, and they had an extraordinary visitation from God, God leading them into hell, and they saw on many, shall I say, people, plaques that were impervious to heat. And on these plaques were written their principal sins. And on some there were written non-tither. They were robbers, they were thieves, because they did not give their tithe to the Lord. And they were counted as robbers. They were in hell because of it. You see, the church needs those who tithe. We have a job to do. We have to feed the poor. We have to feed the poor actually ourselves in other countries. You know, without our help, people would die, would starve to death because the governments are unable to feed their people. And we do that. We have the privilege of doing that in some countries. And you can't do it, you know, unless people tithe, unless people give to the church. We are blessed because people do give to our church, and we are able to supply the money for our missionaries to feed the poor. But, you know, God says those who don't tithe rob him. They're thieves. And it's one thing to rob a man, but it's much worse to rob God. And then, you see, in the book of Proverbs, the reverse is taken and said, look, if you will honor God with your substance, he will, if I could say this, pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. In other words, God will mightily repay, mightily repay. And so it continues, you see. And now I want to touch another subject which is very important indeed, and it's what is called chastening of the Lord. Now, Paul speaks of this in Hebrews 2, but he says, look, our fathers chastened us, you know, punished us, you know, if we did wrong. And their purpose was wholly remedial. They punished us that we would not do those things again. Now, Paul picks it up and applies it like this, and he says this. He says, look, our fathers did it according to their pleasure, according to their wisdom. And we realize that they were doing it for remedial purposes. But, he said, God, you know, chastens us for the very same purpose. He chastens us that we will obey him, that we will honor him, that we will walk in the pathway of righteousness. And he said, you know, if a person isn't chastened, then they're not a true son. And that is something that we mentioned before in these studies, the difference between Solomon and Adonijah. Adonijah actually was the older brother, but God has selected Solomon to be on the throne after David. And so David chastened Solomon, but he did not chasten Adonijah. Adonijah could do just what he wanted, and David let him do that, because he wasn't the one who was going to the throne. Well now, you know, God has indeed a purpose for our life. And one of those things is that we must indeed walk worthy of him. We are destined for the throne, to sit upon the throne with Christ. And therefore we are going to be chastened by God. And so, you know, King David said, well, look, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise it. Because he said, you know, whom the Lord chasteneth is whom he loves. God appointed, of course, Solomon. And Solomon was called Jedidiah, you know, beloved of the Lord. God loved Solomon. Adonijah, no. But it was Solomon who was chastened. It was Solomon who was dealt with in his formative years, because he was beloved of God. And you see, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, you see. And so, you know, the joys of wisdom, the joys of wisdom, how important it is. And they are repeated here in chapter 3. Some of them are repeated, some for the first time. But, you know, one of the things is this. Happy is the man who receiveth wisdom. Happy is the man who receiveth wisdom. You know, we all look for happiness, don't we? Well, it's found in wisdom. Happy is the man who is indeed one who receives wisdom. And then, as we said before, length of days is given to those who seek wisdom. And then look at these things, riches and honor. And then again, pleasantness. Oh, isn't it beautiful, that psalm which says, my lines have fallen in pleasant places. You know, I can look back on my life, and of course there have been some very severe trials and so forth, but I'm enjoying a very pleasant life at the moment, very pleasant life. But I have sought wisdom and peace. You know, I don't think there's anything comparable to that gift, to have the peace of God constantly before you. And, you know, you just be like a tree of life, a tree of life. Well, then he develops a very important teaching. Having said all these things, you know, about the length of days and the pleasantness, he then goes on to say, and this we find in verse 19, that the Lord by wisdom has indeed founded the earth. By understanding he hath established the heavens. And so everything that God has made through wisdom. And it's a very wonderful thing. It speaks of the clouds. And it's interesting in the book of Job, and Job, is it 26, if I can read my writing? Job 26 and verse 8. You know, he binds up the waters in the clouds that they do not fall out. Have you ever considered that, what clouds are? They contain vast volumes of water, and yet they don't let that water go out until God's appointed time for it to go out. Have you ever thought of clouds being like that? Clouds are formed by the wisdom of God. And so it goes on. And I want to come back now to Proverbs chapter 3, because again, the blessing of wisdom, that thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thou shalt not stumble. What a blessing, to walk safely and shall not stumble. And so it goes on. Now there are some practical measures that we have to take. And I just like to look at some of these practical teachings. You know, the promise of thy sleep shall be sweet. How beautiful it is to have all these blessings. But we're going to now divert a bit from the pleasantness of the life of wisdom. And there's some practical instruction here. And it says, we hold not good from them to whom it is in your power to do it. In other words, if you have the ability to help someone today, don't tell them to come back tomorrow. You know, that's one of the things I try and insist on. You know, if we know that something good has been given to somebody, we try and let them know immediately so that all their anxiousness is taken away. And that's very important, to help people immediately. It's in your power to do so, so that they don't agonize and wonder what is going to happen to them or if they're going to be provided for. Do it immediately. If you have the power to help a person, do it immediately. Don't say, come back tomorrow. And then, you know, striving. Don't strive with people without a cause. And again, you know, there's a tendency to look at people and wicked people and say they seem to be prospering. They seem to be prospering. And God says, don't you envy them, because the end of those people is great sadness. You know, that's one of the things that we see in life. You know, it seems at times that wicked people do prosper. Wicked people are triumphant. They perhaps get elected and so forth. But I tell you this, we have deep compassion in our hearts, for we know the end of those people is hell. And I'd do anything I could to save a person from hell. You see, so don't envy those people that are evil and seem to be prospering. And so, here we come. You know, the house of the wicked. God's curse is upon that house. I remember some people that caused me great grief. And they had been in a house for over 35 years, and that house was very important to them. And God gave me a dream and showed me that they would be thrown out of that house because of their wickedness. And in a few weeks they were. They'd been there 35 years, but because of their wickedness, God created certain circumstances. They were thrown out of their house. And, look, the end of the matter. The wise shall inherit glory. The end of those who are wicked. Shame shall envelop them. I tell you this, there is no substitute for a righteous life. There's no substitute for being guided by wisdom. And so I implore again, as we come to the end of this session, ask for wisdom that it guide you in the pathway of righteousness, and you will inherit pleasantness and happiness and length of days. God bless you.